Hello everyone, I hope you're all having a good day. Thank you for joining me today for this talk on the phase diagrams of spinless dev letters. Before we dive into the topic, let me introduce myself briefly. My name is Yuxiao Chen, and I was a student at PSA from 2019 to 2020. After completing my studies at PSA, I continued my education and now pursuing a PhD in quantum matter at Parameter Institute, under the supervision of Dr. Yin-Chen He. My personal research interests are focused on numerical simulations of quantum many-body systems, utilizing tools such as matrix product states, density matrix renormalization group, and variational uniform matrix product states. So this topic is based on one of our recent studies. Our findings on the phase diagrams of spinless KiDev letters have been posted on archive and are currently undergoing peer review. So I'm actively working on editing the paper and addressing the referees' comments. So any of the questions from you will be very important for me to improve my current work. So please feel free to ask questions in our Q&A session. I'm excited to share my knowledge and insights with you today, and I hope you will find this talk informative and engaging. Thank you for your attention. And before we begin, we would like to take a moment to acknowledge and thank those who have contributed to this work. Firstly, we would like to thank our co-authors Aaron and Yin-Chen for their full support along all the project. We also like to extend our gratitude to our contributive colleagues, Rochen, Weichen, and Yijian, who have provided us with valuable insights and have greatly enhanced our project. Now, let me quickly go through the content of this talk. I will start with a simple overview of what is KiDev models and its importance, basically our motivation of this project. Then I will focus on the KiDev letters of our interest, analyzing their symmetries, both global and local, and how they impact the behavior of this model. Next, I will present some numerical results and explain the techniques we employed to arrive at these results, including perturbation theory and DMRG simulations, basically. Finally, I will summarize and draw some conclusions and maybe some outlook. Here we start with the background overview. KiDev spin models are a class of quantum many-body systems that were first introduced by KiDev in the early 2000s. They're defined on a lattice and consist of spin 1/2 degrees of freedom, located at the sides of the lattice, and interaction terms that couple nearest neighbor spins. The interaction terms in KiDev models are highly anisotropic. As you can see here, basically it depends on their own orientation to their nearest neighbors. And these kind of models are famous for hosting exotic phases of matter, such as abelian and non-abelian topological phases, along with fractional statistics of spins and charges, which are way beyond the classical lambda theory. And also, they are of great interest in the field of quantum computing due to their potential to support robust and scalable quantum information processing and topological quantum computer. Meanwhile, some experimental candidates, such as some components of iridium and ruthenium, have been found. In summary, these kind of spin models are a very fascinating and important class of quantum many-body systems that offer new ways to understand and describe the phases of matter. They are also of great interest for their potential application in industry. Recently, there has been also growing interest in the higher spin counterparts of KiDev models and several microscopic schemes that have been proposed. However, these models are challenging to study as they are not really exactly solvable anymore. And meanwhile, it's also very difficult to simulate numerically in 2D systems. So currently, there are only a very very few works that have like approached them, basically using methods like a mean field or exactly diagonalization on very limited number of spin sites. So that is why we want to simplify this problem. We have reduced the dimension from a true 2D system to a quasi 1D structure, basically this kind of two-leg ladder. Including the original definition, this kind of Kitaev ladder still maintains most of the global symmetries and local symmetries. Later, I will talk about their definitions. And the more important thing is, by having this kind of model on a quasi-1D lattice, we are now able to apply our like old friends DMRG methods. Now move on to the general analysis on this kind of system. This is actually a general definition of our model. Here, it is actually always correct to write on such a like a sum over all the k gamma and s gamma interacting with its nearest neighbor, and the gamma's value depends on its orientation, as we mentioned before. It's apparent that this doesn't really matter what kind of like lattice structure you choose. So it's also true for our two-leg ladder. On the right side hand, this is the diagram for our ladder. Here, I specifically use the black ball filled line for the Z interaction, and the double lines for the X interaction, and dashed line for Y interactions. And the important thing here is commutation, the anti-commutation formula, which is correct for spin one half size, is not correct anymore if we want to look at like those higher spins. Instead, we need to use this kind of formula. They basically just replace this S beta with another operator, like the rotation still along S beta, but like with a specific number of the angle e to the I pi S beta, then you will find that they now have this kind of anti-commutation formula. And more interestingly, since on one side is anti-commutation, so if you combine the two sides together, look at their commutation formula, you will find they actually commute with each other. This is very important for our future discussion over the symmetries, both global and local. Considering the fact that the Hamiltonian we use it is composed of only two-body interactions, so we can always use this kind of formula. So we just simply project over all these sides in this model. So it's apparently true, right? All the sum in this Hamiltonian, it's two body, so they apparently commute with each other. And also, it's very obvious that for the upper leg and the lower leg, they have another pair of global symmetries. But note that they are all the five different symmetries, they are not independent of each other. Basically, only three of them will be fully free. So the actual size of the group is not that large. Basically, it's Z2 cube instead of 5 degrees. Actually, this sort of technique for finding global symmetries can be generalized a lot. Considering such a random loop over the lattice of any generic lattice, as long as it's 3 degrees for each vertices, we can go through all the sides in a closer way, and along the way, we just record all the interaction bound we've been through. See, starting from this axis bound, and then the whatever. Then finally, we're going back to the original points. Then we look back onto all the information we've recorded. Then we use the rule that we multiply x and y to get z, etc. And finally, we replace the labels with the exponential of I pi, z, x, y, whatever. Then we're okay. This is amazing. So then we will find these kind of like productive operators will be also a symmetry of this original model. So naturally, for our ladder, just I want to mention that the previous analysis is actually generically true. So it's also true for our like degenerated version of model. So here, basically, you can look at all the smallest square of this ladder, just use the same law as before. So we can find like all of these like fourth order operator x y y x, and then here x y y x the same thing, etc. So all of them will be our local symmetries in this system. Also, I want to mention that the global symmetries can be also viewed as such kind of loop operators in some sense. Basically, you can just like go over all the sides like in such a line, blah 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 blah. Then you get like a global. See, this is z, this is x, so a global y symmetry, and in this way a global x symmetry. And if you go through this way, then we'll be like a global z symmetry. For the two single leg symmetries, it's basically the same. A naive view for like why these kind of local symmetries is important is you can like think about like for any further numerical calculation, you can always paint down all the local symmetries in the very beginning, so that like the total degrees of freedom of the original system will be decreased in such a way. The original system is like for each local side, they have a 2s plus 1 number of degrees. So like it's 2 plus 1 to the power of n. But if we already determine the specific values for all the local symmetries, it will be divided by 2 to the power of n divided by 2. Note that the number of local symmetries will be a little bit different from the total number of spin sites. Okay, after introducing all of these, we can go further with our results. Basically, we analyze all the like four different spin S systems one by one. And the local symmetries just mentioned before is quite obvious in the case of spin one half. This is also basically the easiest problem we can analyze in the series of KIF ladders. In a pretty like concise way, because we can make use of Jordan-Wigner transformation. And basically, after doing this kind of Jordan-Wigner transformation, we will find this original system will be transformed into a chain of Majorana fermions. But inside it, there's still like a four-body interactions. However, this is a very fortunate finding. Is if we look at some combinations, you will immediately realize this product between B Majorana fermions is immediately the local symmetries we just mentioned before. Then basically, by repeating the technique we mentioned before, you just pin down all the values of Dn. And then you will find this kind of Majorana fermion chain will be like a kind of reducer to a very simple two body system, and we just do yet another decomposition over the full matrix. Then eventually it will be lots of decoupled Majorana fermions after some specific transformation. Then naturally, we will get the energy spectrum from there. Then some other information like all the ground state energy and whether or not they are like gaps or are they gapless, it can be also very easily got. Here's a phase diagram I derived from the previous slide. Here I use a different blue colors for either they are gapped or gapless. Here the shallow blue represents the places where the ground state is actually gapless states. The deep blue, like these kind of lines between them, are gapless regions. And meanwhile, we can also do a DMRG simulation to plot all the correlation length figure to be consistent with the previous analytic results. Here in the middle, I presented the correlation length of the infinite MPS. Remember, this is not the true correlation length of our physical states. It's just a kind of, it's in the way of we use MPS to like approach the true ground states, especially near the gapless region. So it will be only like very large, but not like infinite as we will predict in a physical analysis. Also on the leftmost panel, I calculated all the like different orders of energy derivatives to show that these gapless regions are truly second order phase transitions. We also extended the phase space a little bit to like include more information. Here, I basically use it like kind of, you can think of them, these two diagrams as kind of world maps. So the North Pole will be those places where like only KZ dominates, and all like any for any horizontal line, it will be like we fix KZ first, then we tune the ratio between Kx versus Ky. And here is just yet another set of measurement over the order parameter for detecting SSB spontaneous symmetry breaking, or the other order parameter for SPD, that's symmetry protecting topological order. So it's quite clear to see the whole phase diagrams. The whole phase diagram seems to be divided into two different kinds of spaces, like either SSB or SVD, but actually in more details, the two panels of SPT, they are actually a little bit different and they cannot be connected with each other through any like smooth line. Besides the gapless phase diagram, we also investigated the central charges of our gapless points. So the finding is that like most of them are Ising-like because the left part. This is picked from one of the previous like the borderline, basically somewhere here. And we can use some like a finite size scaling in DMRG and extrapolate the estimated value of the center charge. It might be a little bit too small to look at, but it's 0.5. So the conclusion is Ising-like stuff. And the right panel, this is actually where the two SPD faces touch each other. And it's pretty surprising that like the central charge is one instead of 0.5. This is also another signal why the two faces are distinct from each other. Now let's move on to higher spins. Actually, there's no more simple story because we don't have Jordan-Wigner transformation anymore. So usually people need lots of numerical study to crack down these kind of higher spin problems. But fortunately, we can still try to use perturbation theory to see how the whole model runs under some extreme circumstances so that we can like have a rough picture in our mind about what's going on, like what the phase diagram should be like in a very minimum way. That is also why I need to change all the like phase diagrams into a like a world map way, because in that way I can include more information about those extreme situations. So we basically looked into two different anisotropic limit. Here, anisotropic versus isotropic is a little bit different from the anisotropic I mentioned in the very beginning of the introduction of Kidai model. This kind of anisotropic is only talking about the relative magnitude of our like a parameter kz, kx, and ky. So this kind of z limits, the first anisotropic case, it's simply only the kz interactions dominate, and the other two are very small. So that the KZ bound, the sum over KZ bound can be viewed as the unperturbed model, and all the other summing together can be viewed as perturbing terms. Similar story for X limits. However, the specific details are very complicated and tedious, so we will never go deep into them. So like only the final result will be presented here. And if anyone was interested in like those details, well, please also feel free to ask any questions in the Q&A session, and we can briefly go through them. Anyway, by carefully calculating all the effective terms, this is like a overview of the calculation formula I use for the effective Hamiltonian. We find the phases of a different and spin S system should be like concluded with an even odd effect. That's say it's different according to whether the spin is integer or half integer. If it is half integer, in the X limit, it will be like effectively a cluster model, which is basically the easiest model for like for hosting SPD orders in 1D. And Z limit, it's SSB phase. However, for integer cases, they both are trivial phases. By trivial, I mean like they are all like some polarized product states. But we will see later, even though two limits are like trivial states, they are still a little bit different. But now you know that the perturbation theory can only tell us very limited information in very extreme situations of the system. So to see how the real phase diagram looks like for each different cases, we need to do lots of DMRG simulation for higher spin Jev ladders. Fortunately, we found that they are like mostly, but almost everywhere like very consistent with our previous perturbation theory, especially around the like limit, the X limit and the Z limit. So as you can see here, around the Z limit, there are always product states that are like very trivial states, but there's some like first order phase transition in between them. However, on the other side, where like X and Y dominates, there's no such cases. And the surprising results is like at the isotropic limits, this is some like SSB phases we never expected. This limit cannot be like concluded from our perturbation theory. So it's apparently too far away from any limits. So this is a kind of like a still unsolved mystery. And here on the left panel, it's a scan along this straight line, this vertical line. As you can see, the correlation length still like explodes around this kind of phase transition point. And actually, I also like calculated their center charge to be like all 0.5, so still a Ising-like transition. For spin 3/2, it's basically the same as spin 1/2 cases, except for the fact that like the borderline like shifted a little bit. Previously, in the spin half case, it's almost like a straight line, almost straight line, but still curved. Here, it's like approaching more into the isotropic limit, the center point. But the transition point is still the same, essentially, because the central judge to be the same, still Ising-like. But one very important thing is for integer spins, the SSB is not the same thing as the half integer SSB. Here, it is for the half integer case, we use the order parameter of exponential of I pi sx and exponential of I pi sy. But for the integer spin, we measured it in using the direct tensor product between sx and sy. It's very different. So spin two is again, that's very similar to spin one, but a little bit different is the unnecessary first order transition is more complicated. And actually, all of these unnecessary first order transitions can be derived directly from our perturbation theory. So we won't go through it too much here. And again, I measure the same vertical line as before, and it's still a similar phenomena. So, okay, as a summary, here I plotted the whole procedure of this project. We started from the original QFF model and its higher spin counterpart and reduced the problem to higher spin ladders. Then we use perturbation theory to get a strong conclusion on the different behaviors between integer and half-integer spins. And especially for spin one half, we can even exactly solve the whole model and separate the local symmetries directly from the fermionic term. Eventually, we use DMRG to do some numerical simulations and get a series of phase diagrams and a finite size scaling to get some center charges. Meanwhile, consistent with our perturbation theory, especially in those extreme limits. However, we find that in integer spin case, there are still some SSB phases which we cannot explain very well up to now. I want to say that this ladder model is actually quite different from honeycomb. Even though in the very beginning we want to use this kind of a reducer model to look back onto our QDAF honeycomb, as you can see, there's no real a large region of gapless region as QDAF honeycomb anymore. Instead, there's only SSB or SVT or even trivial phases. So yeah, my personal suggestion is these kind of two-leg models should be concluded with all of these phase diagrams I provided. And if people want to look into more fascinating results, maybe they should consider increase the number of legs and even maybe considering surround the cloud model only finite cylinders. But for that kind of case, I also tried it and it's pretty hard to simulate numerically. So yeah, so that's all for this talk. So any questions?
Any questions? What is the symmetry for this SPT? Is the Z2 cross Z2, I guess?
Yeah, still Z2 cross Z2. I say, let me find if I have any extra slides for this. Okay, so maybe we will just make use of one of the slides in the main text. So as I mentioned before, the original symmetry group is actually a Z2 cube. But fun fact is that the symmetry group protecting the SVT is only a Z2 by Z2. And in fact, it is the two single leg symmetries. Let me find out the symmetry conclusion. Yeah, this one. So if I can. Yeah. This one and this one. It is actually pretty obvious if we look into the perturbation theory and think about the x limit, where we first determine the unperturbed space as these kind of dimers. sorry for my clumsy drawing. So, and then like after calculation, you will find they're like, if you view them as a kind of a new spin one half systems, their Hamiltonian is again x, zx, or zx, whatever, it doesn't matter. And then you will find like, and need to recall that the symmetry is protecting, like the classical model is actually the like, all the product all even z or the odd z, right? So Chris, like back to this case, it is actually immediately the single leg z and the upper leg z and the lower leg z, because you can view as the upper one as even, the lower one as odd. Yeah, then that's the story for the protecting symmetry. Yeah, and it has it suddenly has nothing to do with the third symmetries, which is pretty like weird. Yeah. Also, actually, in the SSB phases, the global SSB symmetry is always preserved. It is not broken anyway.
So I guess you also measure the stream order parameter to detect this SPT, right?
Indeed. In my paper, I didn't show here, but in my paper, I plotted them, but two different kinds of if I can use two different kinds of the stream order. So this is the first one, and this is the second one. Or maybe it's not pretty clear. But anyway, it's you can think of them like have a mirror symmetry between each other, but they're different. They're different in the sense that if you measure this along such a diagram, let me find. So for example, if you measure them along this, you'll find like for one of them, they behave like this. And for the other one, it's something like this. This is also why the two SPT phases are actually a little bit different from each other.
I'm not sure what is the meaning of unnecessary phase transition. Does that mean it's far from perturbation and just can take away more?
Yeah, it's basically it is not a very like rigorous definition. It's the point of unnecessary first order transition is that the two faces like on two sides, they are the same thing essentially. I mean, they are both polarized states. Like think about like the classical IC model, like they are all like pointing up or pointing down, but they're somehow like disconnected in our case. But yeah, think about it; it should be like connected, right? Just still, this kind of parameter space is not big enough so that we cannot connect them directly. Especially like very similar to the classical phase diagram of water. It's like it ends somewhere, but actually you can go around, yeah, if you like have a, like a bigger enough phase space.
And for the SSB order, what symmetry do you break? You break one of the Z2 or
all the symmetries except for the global SC.
I see. Uh-huh. Yeah. I see. So the Gauss degeneracy is forward.
Yeah, so that is also why this kind of like simulation like took lots of time. It's very hard to like make it stable. Yeah. Sometimes jumping between states, and sometimes you will even find some like cache states, and especially at the center of the space, the isotropy limit, all the three different parameters equal to each other.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.